Welcome to a case closed review from ReverseThieves.com. In these short podcasts, we discuss our final thoughts on anime that finished up in the most recent season. This time, we're looking at the live-action TV series Erased from Kansai TV and Cocoon Productions, and it's streaming on Netflix, and in Japan, this was a Netflix original, so it's also a Netflix original, but it's not American. I don't know. I feel like that label is really confusing for a lot of reasons.
Because essentially, if it's not anywhere else, Netflix labels it as a Netflix original, which is more true and definitely less true depending on the title you look at. But it means it's streaming on Netflix.
Right. But in this case, it's actually true, but it's not. See, here's the other confusing thing, though, is if I had just said it's a Netflix original, you might think that it's like an American remake of Erased, but it's not. This was made originally for Japanese Netflix. So it's Japanese live action, but it's also now streaming on American Netflix subtitled. So that was like the longest explanation. It was like everyone already knew what the hell I saw. I didn't even need to explain it. It doesn't matter. So this is a retelling of the story. You know, there was an anime fairly recently. Obviously, it's based on a manga. And this TV series is 12 episodes, tells the complete story. Much like the anime TV series, you know, it's definitely cutting it into like a more short form. The manga is longer, but both of them tell you get the answer to the big mystery, which is about Satoru, who is 29, kind of modern day. He has this weird ability where he jumps back in time like 1-5 minutes.
It implies that it's happened like a little longer, but the average revival, as he calls his ability, yeah, is like 1 or 2 minutes. It's not like travels back a week in any time, just essentially enough time for him to go, ooh, what, you know, like, what should I be looking out for, and then get in the way of it.
And That's the thing, is he can't control it. It happens without his knowledge, but it's to sort of prevent sometimes large accident, sometimes little mishap. And he doesn't know why it happens to him, but he's had this happen for a while. I actually like that, at least in the live action and in the anime, it doesn't, one, go into like when this started happening or why it's happening ever, but that it's not the first time it's happened, so he already knows. This is what I'm looking... Like, I like that we are just sort of in progress of it, so we don't have a whole bunch of, like, time spent on him trying to figure out why it's happening and all this stuff. He gets into an accident saving somebody else because of one of these revivals. His mom comes to help him out, and it happens again when he's with her. And so he tells her, hey, like, look out for anything. Do you notice anything? She does notice something, and it ends up getting her in a lot of trouble in the first episode.
I will say that it's also clear that he hasn't shared the nature of revival, but she knows that every once in a while he'll get, like, essentially how she seems to play it off is he gets a spidey sense. So she's like, all right. And she seems to have seen that it works in the past. So she actually actively starts looking because she at least has some sense that he's occasionally aware of things. Not necessarily supernaturally, that maybe, you know, he just has hunches.
And then ultimately, he gets into a bunch of trouble in this first episode, and then he's sort of like begging revival to happen so that he can fix it. And it actually sends him 18 years into the past. He is now his 11-year-old self, but he has the knowledge. He still, you know, knows all of this, and he remembers everything. But now he's trying to figure out, why is he way back here? He's never jumped this far. But in order to fix everything in the present, it all starts in 1988.
And there have been a lot of little hints why this is going on. He's not exactly sure, but he at least has a pretty good idea of where to start. This is definitely a major incident in his life that he's, all right, it's definitely related to this incident.
I feel like as the viewer, you know it a little more clearly because you're seeing it from a few different points of view. So It's very obvious, I think, from the viewer's point, like, okay, here's what it is, but he still has to figure out. And so it's this kind of grand mystery. He kind of the ultimate idea is that he has to save not only one person, but multiple people in order to write the sort of the past and the present.
Yeah, by saving certain people in the past, he'll hopefully save other people in the future.
And so I think both of us really loved the anime of this. So that was, you know, one of the reasons we wanted to check out the live action. So we actually watched the first two episodes because we watched the first one. And then I remembered actually on a speakeasy talking about them making this. And I said, it all hinges on if the kids are good actors, because most of the story does not take place in the present day. So it's all, you know, mostly like told with like 11-year-olds. So they got to be really good to pull the story off.
I mean, Satoru's actor gets to participate a lot because his adult actor is essentially child Satoru's inner monologue, but he's just doing narrating most of the time, so child Satoru and his friends have to do a lot of heavy lifting. And if they are bad kid actors, this is going to be a bad time.
And so the first episode ends right after the time jump happens, so we didn't get to see those kids yet. So we watched the second episode to more fully be able to talk about it, I think. Of course, we did see the mom, and I liked the mom a lot, and I think that she's really good.
But like you said, you almost have to do bad casting or have like some kind of particular, the director owed someone a favor casting for the mom to be bad. But finding good kid actors is a little more of a challenge, as anybody who has watched things with kids will tell you.
So what did you think of the cast?
You know, I feel like they kept everybody a little quieter, and thereby I feel like they didn't have to do as much, and thereby it was a little harder to tell, but I didn't feel they were bad. I feel like Kaio and Sato seemed fairly good. I never really had a problem with any. I felt like I was getting what they were supposed to be going through. The other kids didn't appear as much. I mean, they made a few brief lines.
Not as important, though. It's really,
yeah,
like,
yeah, those two are the real important ones. I was just, if any of them were atrociously bad or super good, it was still a little hard to tell. Like you said, the two main people who were going to follow as kids seemed at least competent. That didn't seem to be a worry. I'm just a little worried, especially since those kids appear a little less. If they say didn't try, like they're like, all right, we've got to nail these two really well. I wonder if they were a little less stringent with those kids, but it's a little hard to tell at this point.
I thought the group scene with them joking around, realizing that Satoru, or kind of interpreting Satoru's interest in Kaio as being like him liking her, I thought that scene was really good, and I thought the kids were all very good in that one. And then there's also this kid who sort of, if Satoru has this magical time traveling ability, but everyone thinks it's just sort of having that sixth sense kind of a thing, this other kid actually has the sixth sense thing. He notices something, like he can feel that there's something weird going on. So he also seemed good. I thought that the casting was pretty good. It didn't stand out one way or the other. Like, I was kind of like, felt like pretty neutral. I wasn't like, oh my gosh, yeah, these kids are so good.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I just feel like in the end, all I needed them was not to be horrible, and I generally considered it a victory.
The thing that I kind of noticed about this show, though, which I think is making it not as memorable to me as the anime. And that's not simply that, like, okay, well, I know the story already, you know? Because I think for the most part, they're kind of hitting all the same points. But the anime, I feel like, has a really good sense of atmosphere and a really good sense of framing that I don't really feel in here. The only thing that they really get right is I like that, like, when they frame Kaio and her red coat and her red backpack, and it's, like, the way they frame some of her scenes, I think is really good. But I feel like otherwise, it's a real, the way that it's filmed feels like very straightforward. And it's, I feel like I'm not getting that real like atmosphere, that tension.
Yeah, no, I totally get what you're saying. So many people mentioned Erased, the anime, is brilliantly directed. Erased, the live action show, seems competently directed. There's nothing so far that is poorly done, but like you said, other than one or two Kaio scenes, nothing stands out, whereas there are just some like brilliant scenes in the anime where you just have to...
Yeah, it just has a real sense of place, has a good stylization. You know, I think this is like fine, but I feel like you're kind of missing some of that storytelling in the way that it's shot.
So two things I did also notice that were different, and maybe this was me, but Satoru seemed so much more depressed and disgusted with his life in the live action TV.
As an adult.
As an adult. Because I feel like in the anime, he just seems to like lost his sense of self. Like when he is jarred by a revival, it's almost like he's sleepwalking through his life. And then revival almost wakes him up and makes him pay attention to where he's going and what he's doing. Whereas he seemed like actively disgusted with where he was in the live action TV series.
A little more bitter.
Yeah. Whereas, yeah, he just seemed like he was going through the motions in the anime. The big inciting incident of the TV series is like what wakes him up and makes him realize that he can't just like occasionally wake up. He's really got to start living.
And I think, I just want to add to that, Al, that I think there's a lot in this show from many characters, and Satoru has to learn this, but it's, I think there's a lot in here about observation, like pay attention, and you know, like notice things. I feel like a lot of characters are pointed out for being able to do that, and that's something that Satoru is like not doing, and that he has to do. And I think that's like a kind of a throughout, there's a whole bunch of that.
And the only other big thing I noticed, and just because of just a little bit of my feelings from the anime and then knowing the differences between the anime and the manga, they definitely play up the girl from work a little more in the beginning of the live action series. And I know she plays a little more of a part in the end game in the manga, but not in the anime. So I'm wondering if they're trying to play her up more now so that when she comes back at the very end, because I feel like it almost feels like she gets forgotten about a little bit.
Oh, I totally forgot her. In the anime, when she comes back, I'm like, who is this? Was this person important? I don't understand.
Yeah, no, I always thought it was weird that, like, at points she was really important, and then in the anime, it just seems to forget about her until she comes back. Whereas I feel like maybe the TV series realized that that was a little bit of a mistake and try to maybe play it a little more towards the manga. But that is to be seen. I just wanted to point that out as I noticed, hey, you're trying to get her in here a little more. So I feel like the role of this, in my opinion, if it seems ideal, if you were like, I think someone would really like the erased story, but they have a prejudice against watching cartoons. And for some reason, they don't want to watch cartoons, but will put up with subtitles. Put up like it's like horrible, but you know what I'm talking about. This seems the avenue. But like you said, the direction in the anime is so much just sharper and more on point that I feel that's the generally one I'd point towards people. Maybe the manga. But this seems almost designed for like people who like, I can't watch cartoons, but you still think they'd enjoy the story.
Yeah, I don't really see a lot of value here. It was kind of interesting to see the story again, but I could just watch the anime and see the story again. Mm-hmm. Because once you know the ending, it's a mystery. So it's one of those things where you kind of want to go back and then you're like, oh my God, like this thing, you know, and you notice more. Just like I said, I feel like there's a whole bunch in here about notice, pay attention. And so that you're kind of rewarded for that if you go back. And there was even in some stuff in the second episode where I was like, like I, you know now. So I feel like there was that. But I am kind of curious how the ending goes, because I feel like that's where you could make the most changes. And just like, because, you know, people weren't super crazy about the anime ending. And not that it was not the real ending, but just that it's pretty extreme, I guess, or like a little over the top maybe. So they feel like that, I can imagine them maybe altering it in certain ways.
Because I know the manga does play out differently, not radically differently, but like I said, certain characters are a little more involved, certain things go down slightly differently. So yeah, it would be interesting to see which version they skew a little closer to.
Thanks for listening to another episode. You can visit us online at reversethieves.com and follow us on Twitter at reversethieves, at nartakiRT, and at hisuiRT.
Netflix erased!